All right, how about that? I thought that looked like it was turned on pretty good. That's good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just a blessing from on high. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of John, chapter number 17. St. John, chapter number 17. And as we look there in verse 14, if you find a place and you're able to stand, then we'll look there in verse 14. He says, "For I've given them thy word." Jesus is doing the talking here. "I've given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of this of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on an old sermon title, "Hated by the World for the Word." And let me tell you, it's something, is it not, in the day and hour in which we live in. These are the words the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. And you're going to find out that whenever he spoke that, you know the reason why I know it? Well, I read verse 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." I mean, my, what a wonderful thought that is, that here's the Lord Jesus Christ looking up toward heaven. And let me tell you right now, is he's given us something money cannot buy. I was going to ask him when I got up, is there anybody that wants to get rich? We all do every now and again. But let me tell you, if you want to really get rich, you're on dangerous ground. Do you know the Bible said they that be rich fall into temptation and many hurtful lusts? That errs from the faith. Nothing wrong with being able to have money, and I know that I may have to borrow some from some of you any given point in time. But until then, let me just say, we've always learned, my wife and I, to live not beyond, but in our means. You can't make, you can't spend everything you're making before you even get it. And it not finally catch up with you sooner or later. That's just the way that it is. As a result of that, you're going to find out is that there's a temptation. And when you look into the Bible, here's something that money cannot buy. Jesus has provided for us something that money cannot buy. Material, money, things, and gadgets, they just can't buy. Now, these are the words that spake the Lord Jesus Christ to the Heavenly Father. And let me tell you what a wonderful thought that is. The Son of the living God looking up toward the Heavenly Father and speaking in our behalf. Isn't that something? In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find he's letting us listen in to a real holy conversation between him and the Heavenly Father. And I got to tell you that whenever you look into it, you find Jesus was a praying man, prayed at his baptism. Remember that? You'll find out that not only that, but you'll find as he began his ministry over in the book of John Mark, or rather in the book of Mark chapter number 1, you'll find that as he began it there, he was a man that was praying. When he called the 12, he spent all night in prayer. While he was busy praying and transfigured and all of that, while that took place, on the cross that he prayed, he bowed his head, he said it's finished, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, and dismissed his spirit into the hands of the Heavenly Father. I want to say to you that, if you will, that the evidence of the new birth is the fact that you and I have a longing in our heart, in our soul, for the things of God. Remember the psalmist over there? He said in the, I can't remember, is it Psalm about chapter 42 or chapter 51, maybe, I don't know. But he says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. Have you ever just been so thirsty that you was panting for God? That you just wanted to hear something real from the throne room of the Lord? I got to tell you something, is that what real Bible praying is a soul that's thirsty and wants a drink that comes from heaven. It's a soul that, buddy, that as a result of it will be able to see like the Lord stretched out his hand toward heaven. I got to tell you, it just makes you want to stretch out your hand to he that's able to give you a drink from heaven. Now, in the lesson here that we're looking at, The problem's not a matter that we don't have access to the throne room. The problem is that God has got his hand stretched out. No man's regarding it. We live in a world that somehow or another we think we're going to fix it by ourselves. You know, all of you boys and girls, I can remember when y'all were little and growing up, you depended on your mama for everything. Now you depend on them for nothing except money. See what I'm talking about? As a result of that, I want you to know that, I'm getting close to being grown myself. But my mom and daddy didn't have much or nothing when we were growing up. And let me tell you right now, they gave us all they had, which was nothing. My dad-in-law and mother-in-law and all of them same way. I mean, we grew up, I'm talking about poor. And make no mistake about it, is that God has sustained us and brought us every step of the way till here. And as a result of that, you and I ought to be able to recognize and relate to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us something that money couldn't buy anyway. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that in verse number 2 and 3 of the text that we've read, that eternal life is in the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said he's the only true God. He's the only true Savior. There's a lot going on out there in the world that we're living in. And as a result of it, you're going to find out is that Jesus said, don't get bogged down. Don't let that bother you. Don't let that. Remember over there in the book of John chapter number 14 and about verse number 1 when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I want to tell you, he's going to prepare a place for you and I. And let me tell you something right now is that in the day and hour we're living in, there's a lot of people who want to believe in God, but they want to believe in a God without Christ. I got news for you. You're going to find they go together. And make no mistake about it, when you believe in God without Christ, it's merely unbelief is what that is. Somebody will tell you, and I've had people look me in my eye, well, yeah, I believe in God. I just don't know about all that Jesus stuff. That sounds like Hollywood straight from hell. I got to tell you right now is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Make no mistake about it, whenever you begin to look into it, that if you believe in God without Christ, that is just a vain belief. That's just really unbelief wrapped in a package of lies. And make no mistake about that. Now, in verse number 5, look, if you will, of our text. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He goes in eternity past to be able to present that petition. And I got to tell you right now, you're going to find out is that over there, whenever Genesis in chapter 1, verse 26, when he said, let us make man in our own image. Man is a trichotomy. He's three part. He's a spirit, soul, and a body. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so as a result of that, you're going to find out that God is in three persons and yet in one God. As a result of that, you're going to find out is that those who know Christ, those who come to know Jesus Christ, number one is you're going to find out they ought to have the same mind he has. You remember Jesus said over there in the New Testament, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to have the same mind. In the day and hour we're living in, if you truly believe the Lord Jesus and you have Christ in your heart, you ought to have the same message. You know, there never has been but one way to get born into the family of God. There's one way tonight. It'll be but one way tomorrow should the Lord tarry his coming. I got to say to you, if you get saved by the grace of God, you'll have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling within you. You'll have the same mind he's got, the same message he's got. And I'll tell you something, you'll have the same mission, and that is to be able to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now, I can promise you right now, there was a fellow by the name of Billy Sunday. Old Billy Sunday was a fireball preacher. You can probably look up some of his old sermons and hear him in days gone by. But as a result of that, he went across the country. He said the saddest part of his whole life, him and his wife, He said, is that we have gone and preached to thousands across the country and watched our own children die without God and go to a devil's hell. Now, I'm going to tell you, it won't make any difference how much money you made. It won't make any difference how many places you've been. It won't matter how many things you've been able to see and accomplish and enjoy. If you spent your life and never reached your family, what a great loss, tragic loss that would be. I mean, those things may or may not be in and of themselves bad, but I got to tell you, they say that before that old Billy Sundays, before he left the scene, that out there in those tent revivals and stuff he was having, that his son had a liquor bottle marching up and down out in front of that tent, cussing God and everybody that he could, and his mama and his daddy. You see what I'm talking about? It's going to take something somewhere or another, and you better be careful you don't try to neglect your responsibility as a mama, as a daddy, as a parent, as a son, as a daughter. You children that are here tonight, especially you teenagers, when's the last time you really got on your knees by your bed and thanked God for a mama and a daddy that loved God and loved the Bible and loved the Scripture enough to be able to bring you to the house of God and to lead and guide and direct you into the truth? Thy word is the truth, he said. Well, you said it's been a while. Well, it's time for you to go to exercise. That's a good exercise, see, and all that business there. Now, I realize and know that sometime, and every now and again, and I like to tell my wife, you know, while things are smooth and all that, and I lean over and I say, you know what, hon? Even though you bellyache a little every now and again, I want you to know that I'm grateful and thankful for you. And she looks at me like I've lost my ever-loving mind. And you know the reason why. I'm the bellyacher. Somebody's got to do it. I realize, though, some of you may be like that. And if you're not, you're on the verge of it. I can tell by looking at you. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that a life without Christ is but a wasted life. Make no mistake about that right there. Salvation is in a person, in a man. His name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. It's not the military or serving your country that's going to count when you leave this world that we're living in. You know, I was listening here a while back, Fox News, and they had a big memorial type deal, you know, and they had flags out, you know, as a memorial service and talking about people that died in battle. And of course, naturally, they wanted to put all of them that had been in the military into heaven. Now, I want you to understand something. Service unto God is not the same as service unto the government. I appreciate with all my, every fiber of my being, every military person, those that have died and those that are alive, I appreciate, but none of that will get you to heaven whatsoever. I've gotten in trouble with a few preachers over making statements like that. It's amazing to me how that they can go in the military and that they can march to the beat of a different drummer and that they can salute their superior officers. It's amazing how they can do all of that, and then when they get out, they can't walk one inch with God. And let me tell you, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong. You know why? Somebody somewhere didn't have it put together exactly right. And let me say to you, you can plant all the flowers, put up all the flags, and all that business there that you want to, but service unto God is not the same as service unto the government. And you need to remember that the rest of your life. I begin to think about in this lesson that's here is that you'll find that we live in a real world. And you better learn how to be able to function in a real world. And I'm talking about in obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in verse number 6, back in our text that's over there, he said, I've manifested thy name unto them, and thou gavest me out of the world. And he said, and thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, if you're a child of God, that verse there is yours. You know how you can tell a child of God? Well, it's the opposite of Judas, who didn't keep the word of the Lord, didn't receive the word of the Lord. But here he said, these have kept thy word. I gave it to them. Look in verse number 8. Verse 8, he said, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. I don't know how much preaching you've heard since you've been born into this world, but my question to you is not how much have you heard, but how much have you received? You know, if you heard preaching all your life, heard teaching all your life, heard and saw an example all your life and never received it, it would be of no avail to you whatsoever. In fact is, when you begin to look into this, you'll find that it's a good deal to be able to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in verse 14 that we've read, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now I can tell you right now, when Jesus over in John chapter number 10 said, my sheep know my voice and hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and so forth and on. I got to say to you that make no mistake about it, if you have not yet received the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then who are you following? Yes. See? In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that a man one time, he'd been busy, you know, listening to, I don't know if it was somebody in person preaching, somebody on the radio, maybe some of what of both, and all of that. And somebody asked the question one day, as they saw two men and as they saw a dog that had showed up. And one guy said, which one of them you think owns the dog? And he says, I don't know. But once they part ways, I can tell you. That dog will walk with his owner, won't he? And what you and I ought to realize and know is that when God said, let not your good be evil spoken of, we ought to be in step with him. Our marching orders ought to come from him. And we ought to have received the blessed word of the Lord. Now, if you have received it, then you'll practice it. And if you're practicing it, you're going to be hated by the world. You're just going to be hated. That's the way it is. That's the way it always has been. That's the way it is tonight. So we'll be that way tomorrow. I don't know about you, but the mark of Christianity is that they receive the blessed word of the Lord. And you'll find out the mark of the devil is they heard the truth, but they didn't abide in it. And as a result of that, they simply begin to walk their own direction like they had most of all of their life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a child of the King. And I'm glad to know that in that passage that we're looking at, I want to give you one thing quickly as we begin to look at it. Look in verse 9, verse number 9. Now Jesus, while he was praying, he said, I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm not just going to pray for those that have received the word of the Lord. He said, but I'm going to pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, if you're not saved tonight, that prayer does not include you. If you're saved tonight, let me tell you, I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound. You know why? The Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for me. If you're a child of God, he's prayed for you. But if you've not received him in the free pardon of sin, then you're part of the world. And Jesus said, and I pray not for the world, but I pray for these that have been saved out of the world by thy word, and that have been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. Amen. I wonder tonight, how is it with you? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. It's been a good day in the Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God tonight with these, thy children. We praise you and thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. We thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed. We ask your blessings now upon every home represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray.